Now we're going to turn the service to Brother Beckton and his family. Give them a hand as they come, would you? Praise God. All right.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in Pine Bluff tonight. I'm afraid they're not going to be able to do any singing. My wife had this bad cough. Man, she's been barking. She ain't treated anything yet, but she's been after it for 3 or 4 weeks. About to drive me up the trees, what it's about to do. But I do love the Lord tonight, and I'm thankful for the many blessings He's given me. And I would say that myself about the church at Arkadelphia. It is a beautiful church.
Amen.
And I think the Lord has blessed them wonderfully. And they're good folks. And I appreciate Brother Price. He's really been a friend to me since we've been trying to get out and preach. Brother Price is always kind to help us and encourage us. And we're in the process. We're seeking the Lord's will. We're just wanting to have a church. It don't have to be big or small. Just, you know, we're ready to settle down. And like I say, we'll worry about the building later on. And y'all have a beautiful building here. You're blessed here. It's a wonderful thing to live for God.
Hallelujah.
It really is. And I wish, talking about desire, that's really where it's all at, desire. You know, you can tell by looking at me, I have trouble with dieting. But you know what? Any diet works if I got my mind made up.
That's right.
It don't matter if it's low fat or grams or whatever it is. I mean, if I've got my mind made up, it works. And the truth is, we don't really need programs so much in 1992 as we need that old-time desire that people had about wanting to live for God, about wanting to do the right thing. What made America great at the turn of the century was that people were faithful and you could depend on them. When they said they'd be there, they'd be there. And they didn't mind going the extra mile. They didn't mind long hours. But we've come to a day where people expect certain things, you know. They expect so much retirement, and they expect so much insurance, and I'm not against it, but I'm afraid it's crept to the church sometimes that, you know, well, Lord, I've been on the roll so long, you can't get rid of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of them government employees, you just can't get rid of them.
That's right.
I hadn't told my wife's daddy this, you know, he was a postman for 30 or 40 years, and I saw him the other day, he said, you know what the Florsheim Shoe Company and the post office have in common? They're trying to get rid of 500,000 loafers. But, don't tell him I said that if you see him. But I'm just saying that we live in a day that a person that has a desire sticks out. Somebody that has a little motivation sticks out because they're not just satisfied with just going through the motion. But anyway, to say all of that, I'm just going to go ahead and preach tonight. And I want to read from John, the 6th chapter. And also 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. John, the 6th chapter, and 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Everybody's got your Bible? Say amen. Everybody don't say, oh me.
Hallelujah.
Well, I couldn't hear him because Brother Rutledge went hallelujah. That's good. That's misdirection there, Brother Rutledge. I know about that in my trick stuff. Hallelujah. John 6 and verse 37, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, I love that scripture. And then 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I want to read verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Have you ever felt like you was there? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed. I've been there, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. Could you say praise the Lord to the reading of the Word of God? And for just a few minutes, I want to speak to you on this subject. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, the Bible doesn't teach, I don't care what these evangelists of the world say, that if you'll just have faith and send $1,000 in with a little seed faith, that man, everything will go your way. God will just open up the windows of heaven, and I mean, man, you'll never get the bad cut of meat, you know. You'll never get the flat tire, you know. You'll never have problem with your kids. You'll have money rolling in the bank if you'll just send a little seed money. The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that if you live for God that you'll never have a problem. It doesn't teach that at all.
But what it does say is that if you give yourself to God, that the promise is, He said, I'll go with you to the very end. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, no matter how discouraged you get, you can realize that I'm right there with you. The devil's a liar. When I'm feeling the Holy Ghost, the devil tells me, you're just emotional. And when I'm not feeling it, he tries to tell me, God don't love me. And so you can't have it both ways. I'm glad that I can feel God at times. I'm glad that we're serving a God that it's not all just mind. It's not all just heart. That there's times that the Spirit of God comes down and sweeps over us. But there are going to be some times, as I'm sure most all of y'all could testify, that you don't feel the Holy Ghost. That you don't feel those goosebumps. That you don't feel just like shouting or running. But that does not lacken the fact that God is still with us. And when you read the Old Testament, and it's our example, you find time and time again the children of Israel would either disobey God or they would get in some situation and they would do the wrong thing and God would be angry. But every time they turned back to Him, every time they said, Jehovah, have mercy on us, not one time did He turn them away. And if He did that for them, I want you to know that we are His church, that we are His bride. And if you've got a problem tonight, if you've got a need tonight, the promise is Him that cometh to me. He said, I won't turn you away. I won't cast you aside. All you got to do is just bring it to me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody got a problem tonight? Anybody frustrated? Anybody need some help? How bad do you want it? You know, the good part is He didn't put any qualifications on who Him was. He didn't say you had to be a young Him or an old Him. He didn't say you had to be a tall Him or a short Him. He didn't say you had to be a skinny Him or a fat Him. He didn't say you had to be a good Him. Boy, I like that. He didn't say you had to be good. We got certain elements want to preach to, man. When you really get good, then you can come to God. You can never get good enough for God. It's amazing grace that God would make a way that we could be saved. It's after we come to God that His Spirit begins to work on us, and that's the only way we can ever be good, is through His Spirit. But in ladies, it don't even mean the Him. That's just the English there. Anybody, male, female, bond or free, anybody, boy or girl, anybody that has a desire, anybody that's got a need, anybody that's got faith that God can help you, if you'll come to Him, He said, I got my arms wide open. He said, I'm not tired today. I never sleep. I never slumber. I've had a good day. I'm in a good mood. If you'll just come to me, the promise is I'll help you out. I mean, what a promise. What a promise that God is just waiting for somebody to come to Him with all their heart.
That's right. Amen.
There was two frogs sitting on the side of the bank. One of them decided to jump in. How many did that leave? No, it still leaves two. You got to do something after you decide. A lot of people have decided to give their life to Jesus. But they hadn't done it yet. They've decided. A lot of people decide they're going to go to church, but they don't do nothing after they get there. A lot of people have decided that I'm going to pray more, but they still haven't done it yet. The first thing you got to do is decide. But after that, you just got to take some action. And the promise that I'm talking about tonight is, the only condition is that I got to come to Him. That I've got to realize that I've got to put forth some effort. Now, God knows where you are tonight. He knows your need tonight. He knows where you're hurting tonight. But He has set it up that you ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. He wants you to realize you got to put forth some effort. And then He will hear. I want to talk a minute about why do we have troubles. You ever feel like singing that song? Nobody knows the troubles I've unseen. And I agree with you, Brother Rutledge. When I'm sick, you ain't never been sick like I've been sick. Man, ain't nobody ever hurt like I've hurt. Ain't nobody. I'm blessed. I've hardly ever been sick in my life. I've never... measles, mumps, the chicken pox. I never have a cold. And so when I get sick, you know, it's just like, man, this is terrible. This is pitiful. Y'all just don't know how bad I feel. I mean, I'm really down. But I want to talk about why do we have troubles. I hate to tell you this, and I'm just talking about myself right now. Most of my troubles are self-inflicted. I'm just reaping what I sowed. Most of my problems are the fact that I've made some bad decisions. Let me give you an example of a terrible day. Get up in the morning, you go outside, you're going to have to go to work, got a flat tire. You bend over to change it, you rip your britches. On the way to work, you get a ticket. When you get home, there's a letter from the IRS wanting money. Now, that sounds like a terrible day. Most of us would get up and testify how the devil has been after us all day, after a day like that. Now, I've not had all that happen in one day, but I've had it all happen to me at different times. But I want to go back and examine the situation. How many miles did you have on that tire? If you got 80,000 miles on that tire, don't blame the devil. Don't blame God. When you could see the air seeping out of it, you should have went and got you another tire. You gained 15 pounds over the holidays, and you're still sucking in the same britches. You're going to rip them out if you get in the wrong position. You might as well just go ahead and get you some more britches. And if you want speed, you won't get a ticket. You know what? I've had too many tickets in my life, but not one time was I ever innocent when they gave it to me. Some people will tell you, well, they pulled me over, and I was doing exactly what the speed limit said, and I don't know, that cop had it in for me. That's never the case with me. I'm always guilty. I always get out, and I try that humble approach is what I do. I always say, yes, sir, 73. Well, I probably was. I know I shouldn't have been doing it. I was just on my way to church, you know, and just trying to do the best I can. They're just writing the whole time I'm saying that. But not one time have I ever been innocent when they gave me a ticket. And if you'd have paid the IRS back last April, you wouldn't be getting a letter today. So all this stuff that sounds like a terrible, big, bad day, God didn't have nothing to do with it. The devil didn't have nothing to do with it. You're just reaping what you sowed. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father, which giveth to all men liberally. We need to ask God to give us some wisdom. God, help us to make the right decisions. God, give us some understanding about how we're supposed to live. But let me just say this. If you're in a situation, and I can testify myself, and some people say, you just don't know how many bills I've got. Yeah. Who signed the note? It wasn't the devil, was it?
No.
You wanted that house. You wanted that car. You wanted that account at Dillard's. You wanted it, and you signed the note. But what I'm saying is, if you're at a place today and you got some kind of problem, if you can do anything about it, by all means, do something about it. But I can't do nothing about it. I still got 24 payments left on it, and no matter how much I pray tonight, I'm still going to have 24 payments on tomorrow. But what I can realize is that, hey, I'm in this situation. God didn't have anything to do with it, but I'm still going to worship the Lord. I'm still going to live for God, and I'm going to ask God to help me not to get in this mess again. But don't lose your song. You know, the birds have bills. They still sing. They don't just throw the towel in. They just keep on singing. Some people say, well, I just hadn't felt much in church lately. How much have you prayed lately? Getting kind of personal there. But you know what I found out? When I hadn't been praying like I ought to, I don't get much out of church. Matter of fact, I wonder what's wrong with the song leader sometimes. What is he so excited about? Don't he know I'm tired? Don't he know I got a hurting in my back? But yet, when I pray every day, and I read the Bible, and I meditate on the Lord, man, when I come to the house of God, man, I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to worship God. And the more I clap, and the more I raise my hands, the more I begin to feel the Spirit of God. God is not going to reach down there most of the time and grab you by the neck and shake you. He touches those that are reaching out to Him. Those that are saying, God, I'm coming to You, and I'm going to worship You, and I know that You're going to touch me. I got faith I'm going to get home safely tonight.
But I got to drive the car. Or my daughter wants to. Well, my faith's weaker. But anyway, I'm just saying, I may have to do a little praying on the way home. But you see, the church, this is our sanctuary. You see, on the job and in the neighborhood and at school, we hear things we'd like not to hear. We see things we'd like not to see, but we can't help it sometimes. Now, if you can help it, you ought to do something about it. But we get involved, you can just go to Walmart and see some ungodly scenes, man. You know, some of these big old heavy ladies in little skimpy outfits. I mean, man, I don't know what they think they're doing to anybody. It just grosses me out. But I'm saying, you just go places and you see things and you hear things you wish you couldn't see. But when we come to the house of God, we need to realize that this is our sanctuary, that this is a place. There's been a lot of times when I first prayed through in 1981, and I had a lot of bad habits that God delivered me. But after I came off that initial high, about 6 months after I got the Holy Ghost, and I started walking back in regular shoe leather instead of up there in the clouds, there was a lot of times I was gone during the week, and I'd come in, and I'd tell my wife, "Hun, I've got to get a touch tomorrow, or I just don't know if I can go on." And not one time did I ever go to church with that attitude that, "God, I'm hungry. God, I'm thirsty. God, I got to have you." But He didn't come down and touch my heart and my soul. And if you got a need tonight, it's not my fault if you don't have it, man. It's not Brother Rutledge's fault. Jesus is here, and He said, if you'll just come to me, if you'll just reach out, if you'll just put forth some effort, He said, I'll take care of it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So this is our sanctuary. It's kind of like a boxer. Now, I never did any boxing. I did a little wrestling when I was in high school in the PE class, but 3 minutes doesn't sound very long, does it? But boy, when you got a big brute over there, and I've read after boxing, but you know, they'll have a 3 minutes and they have a 1 minute between rounds. There's been guys that was knocked down, bleeding, and they stagger over to the corner. They got 1 minute. They sit in that chair. Man, they got blood running down the side of their face. They got stuff hanging out their mouth. I mean, man, they look bad. And that trainer wipes their brow. That trainer begins to work on that cut. They take some of that, we used to call it monkey vomit when I was in school, that green-looking stuff, and they squirt in their mouth. And he wipes his brow, and he pats him on the back, and he says, "Son, you're doing good." He's getting tired of knocking you down. You're about to wear him out. Don't worry. Next round is going to be your round. And some of those fighters that barely made it to the end of the round, barely collapse in the chair in 1 minute's time, when their trainer that knows how to work on them gets through working on them, the bell would ring and they would go back out on their toes. There's been times I've come to church and I was hurt and I was lonely and I was bleeding and I didn't know what I was going to do and I didn't know which way to turn, but the master trainer came down and he wiped my brow and he put something in my soul, and most of all he says, "You can make it, son. You can make it. When I gave you the Holy Ghost, I gave you everything you would ever need, and I left that service on my toes, singing and rejoicing. Why? Because God touched me." And if you're here tonight, it's foolish to leave the house of God the same way you came. If you're hurting, it's silly to come to the place where the fountain is flowing and not get a drink. There's something wrong, but you got to make an effort. You got to make an effort. Let the master trainer work on you. But another reason we have problems is that things that are common unto man are going to happen to us. Do you know they had a hailstorm in Shreveport a few years ago? And do you know I had the Holy Ghost? It hailed on my car. And I was living for God at the time. Hailed on my car. Put a little old bitty dent all over that car. Of course, it turned out to be a blessing. I just kept the insurance, never did get it fixed. But I'm saying, just because you have the Holy Ghost, it's not going to keep you from getting the flu.
Thank God.
You ain't backslid when you get the flu. You don't feel like you're worth much, are you? But that don't mean God's against you. That don't mean the devil's necessarily persecuting you. You're a human being, and these kind of things are going to happen.
Amen.
Now, my wife's sister, Candy, she lived with us. Y'all know Candy. She lived with us for about 5 years. It's a wonderful thing when she got married. We were all blessed.
Oh, shoot, I'm out. I'm just saying, we're glad you found a good man. And but one day, I didn't get many days that I got to sleep in. I really didn't work for myself, man. I used to think that working for yourself would be nice before I did it, you know. Oh, I just lay around. You do what you want to do. But I found out no working, no pay, you know. So I was always out there hustling. But for some particular reason, I don't remember now, I had kind of a day off. And I'm still laying in the bed about 7 or 7:30. And here they come getting me. Candy's got a flat tire. And so I got up and I got dressed. I'm not a morning person anyway. Now, a lot of my family is. My brother gets up at 4:30 every morning. My sister, 5:30, you know. They get up in the morning saying, "Good morning, Lord." And when I get up, I'm saying, "Good Lord, it's morning." And anyway, here they come and they wake me up and Candy's got a flat tire. And so on the way out there in my mind, I'm thinking, if she's got 80,000 miles on that tire, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I'm going to give her some instruction. I'm going to give her some wisdom. And I got out there, and you know what? It was almost a brand new tire. There was this little big old bolt sticking through the tire. Anybody ever get a flat tire because you had a nail or a bolt in your tire? Don't blame that on the devil. Don't blame that on God. You just drove down a road you shouldn't have driven down. But we got a lot of people in the church today that they lose their victory over every little old thing. You know what I've observed about people? When people have great tragedy come in their life, most people draw close to God in great tragedy. But it's the everyday living is what's killing us today. It's the getting up and going to work. It's the paying the bills. It's correcting the kids. It's just the little things, the way people drive nowadays. You ought to pull a trailer. Here I am, driving up there, and all of a sudden the guy's right, I'm almost on, and he looks up and he sees me, and I guess he's thinking, I don't want to get behind this trailer. So he pulls out right in front of me, not knowing that I can't stop, not knowing that I'm riding my brake all the way down there. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the things of life that you have to do day in and day out. It's shaving. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't wait till I started shaving when I was a boy. But I have to shave twice a day if we got church. Got to shave in the morning. Got to shave in the evening time. But I don't get no joy anymore. It's no thrill to me. Like that one guy said, when he was 14, he'd been shaving for 2 years. Cut his legs both times. But I'm just saying, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the everyday living that gets you down. And that's why people that do not have a daily walk with God, they are frustrated, and they're aggravated, and they're irritated too much of the time. We all get frustrated. We all get aggravated. We all get irritated at times. But if you don't have a day-by-day walk with the Lord, in the day we live in, there is so much pressure, and there is so much problems, you're going to be destroyed. But what I'm saying is, if you feel like you're at that point tonight, the answer is not to quit church. The answer is not to say, well, I just can't make it. The answer is to see Calvary again. The answer is to see Jesus again. The answer to realize that God is here tonight with His arms wide open, saying, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Things could be worse in my life. Let's put it that way. About the time I think I've got it bad, I'll hear or I'll see somebody that's got it a lot worse than I do. Somebody that's going through something I've never even dreamed of going through again. And yet I see them handling that. I see them walking with God in that. And then I find myself struggling in my everyday things. But a third reason we have problems, and this is to us the church. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Most of our problems are self-inflicted. Or the rest of our problems, most of them are caused by things that are common unto man. But there is going to come a time in just about everybody's life that God, as he did Job, is going to step back and he's going to allow Satan to try you. And if you're in the midst of that fire tonight, I want you, the answer is not to backslide. The answer is not to give up. The answer is to realize that God has got confidence in you. He will not put more on you than you can bear. Now, I've had times in my life that I was under great strain, and I would say that to God. God, now you promised that you wouldn't put more than I can bear. And God, I can't take no more. And just as soon as I'd say it, something else would happen. And I'd say, now God, that's it. I can't take no more. And something else would happen. And I mean, I'm gone beyond what I think I can do. But it's like the boxer. I read one time, when they take a young boxer, the wise trainer never puts him in the ring against somebody that he thinks that can defeat him, because it will destroy that young boxer's confidence. And as a man would do that, God is not going to put you in a situation that you will be totally overwhelmed. The little battles that you have today are to prepare you for the bigger battle you're going to face somewhere down the road. And that's why you better learn how to get a hold of God in the easy times, because in the hard times you already know how to touch God.
Amen. That's good.
You know why some people can't lean on the Lord? They're not close enough to him.
That's good.
I can't lean on that wall from right here. I can't do it. But you know what? From right here, I can lean on this pulpit because I'm right beside it. And some people want to try to tell you that God failed them and God let you down, and God was where he always has been. They were too far from God. But if you'll draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. But how do I get rid of my troubles? You know, I wish I had a hocus-pocus formula for you. You know, I wish I could just, you know, wish we had a, you know, they've got the sinner's prayer out in the world, how just everything just gets clean. I wish we had a faith prayer. You know, just one of those, just say these 12 words, and when you do, bang, that's all it takes. But it don't work that way. The Bible says, when you seek him with your whole heart, that's when he will be found. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know about you, just being honest with you, when somebody calls and says, hey, would you pray for me? Well, I do pray for them. God, you see the need here. I want you to touch them. But now when I'm the one that's hurting, I step up that prayer just a little bit. Oh, God, I got a need here, God. But you know you got to get to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That lady with the issue of blood. You see, everybody around Jesus was getting a blessing. Just being in his presence. And I mentioned a while ago, you know, it rains on the just and on the unjust. In other words, sinners get some blessings. Just living in this world. The sunshine coming up. When you visit the church, when you come in the house of God, there's a blessing, I believe, that comes to you. Every time you read the Word of God, there's a blessing. But there's something inside of me that just doesn't like the thought that a sinner is going to get the same blessings that I get. And I've made up my mind, I want more than just the rain. It rains on the just and on the unjust. This little lady had her mind made up that she needed more than just the rain. She needed more than just a normal touch. She needed more than just coming to church and singing a song and leaving feeling a little bit better. She had a need. And she got to that crowd, and they were all gathered around Jesus. And she began to work her way through the crowd. And she began to do whatever she had to do. It's when you reach that point that you're desperate, that you're reaching out for God with everything you got. That's when he hears you.
Hallelujah.
I was in Toys R Us with Brett one day. And wasn't many people in there, but I took him over there for some toys he wanted to look at was. And I left him there and went to look for some toys of my own. And I wasn't gone very long, but I come back and looked, and he wasn't down that aisle. And I stepped up the next aisle, looked, and I looked 3 or 4 aisles, and he wasn't there. If you've ever had a child get away from you, especially the evil, wicked day we live in, man, a fear kind of come over me. And I walked all the way up and down the center aisle looking both ways, looking for my boy. And didn't see him, walk the whole store. And on my way back, I began to say, Brett, in the store. And people were kind of looking at me, kind of funny looking at me. Normally, that would have kind of embarrassed me. Normally, I would have felt self-conscious. But my desire to find my boy outweighed what anybody thought about me. I didn't care what they thought about me. I just had to find my boy. And I'm telling you, when you reach that point with God, that's when you're going to get your answer. The Bible tells us the story of Bartimaeus, blind. Must be a terrible thing. Born that way. And if you'll just allow my speculation, I wonder if maybe when he was a little bitty boy, if his mama, trying to encourage him, maybe she would tell him about the Messiah that was going to come one day. Bartimaeus, one day the Messiah is going to come. And when he does, the deaf ear is going to be unstopped. The lame are going to leap like a hart, and the blinded eye is going to be open. Maybe trying to give him a little hope. Maybe trying to give him a little faith. When he was down, he could hear the other kids outside playing. He had never seen a tree. He had never seen the sunshine. He never saw what he ate. Just there he was, day in and day out. And maybe every once in a while when he was crying, he'd say, "Mama, would you tell me that story about the Messiah again?" And she'd say, "Son, one day the Messiah is going to come. And when he comes, the deaf ear is going to be unstopped. The lame is going to leap like a hart. And the blinded eye is going to be open." But now he's a grown man. He's sitting beside the wayside begging, "Alms, alms, alms." And one day, could it be possible, as he's sitting there, he hears two people talking. "Oh, you should have been with me over at Capernaum. Man, there was a lame man over there. Never had walked before. And this man named Jesus come walking by. And he said, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' He said, 'You know what? That man leaped up like a hart. He leaped up like a deer and went to jumping and hollering around.' And something inside of Bartimaeus began to make his heart pound. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. A man began to leap like a hart? Don't I remember something about that?" And maybe a few days later, he's sitting along begging, "Alms, alms, alms." And he hears somebody talking, saying, "Oh, there was a deaf man over here, and there was a man named Jesus come by, and he just stuck his finger in there," and said, all of a sudden that ear popped, and that man said, "I can hear. My deaf ears don't stop." And all of a sudden, Bartimaeus remembered that story, that when the Messiah came, the lame would leap like a hart, the deaf ear would be unstopped. And inside his heart, I wonder if he was saying, "Oh, I wish that Jesus would come by here. Oh, if Jesus would just come my way, I believe he could take care of my situation. Oh, I wish that Jesus would come by here." Amen. And one day, as he's alms, he hears a crowd coming. He don't know if it's a politician coming with a bunch of people. He don't know if it's some great athlete being honored. He just hears a crowd coming. And when he says, "What's going on? What's going on?" And somebody says, "Shh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And when he heard that, something inside of him thrilled him. And he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the crowd tried to quiet him down. The crowd tried to say, "You're out of order." The crowd tried to say, "Hey, you're not good enough for God. You're not good enough for Him. Don't you know He's got more important things than a blind man?" But he knew that Jesus was his only hope. He knew that nobody else could help him. He knew that nobody else could take care of his problem. And he cried out all the more. And the Bible says when Jesus heard that cry, that he stood still. It stopped him. A heartfelt cry. A cry of desperation. A cry of, "God, I confess that I don't know what to do. God, I confess that I don't know where to turn. God, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I don't know what's going on in my life. God, I have no place to go. I have no talent. I have no ability I'm depending on. I'm not depending on the arm of the flesh. God, I know You're the only one that can help me." It's when you reach that point that you recognize that God Almighty is the only one that can help you. That's when God comes riding on the water. That's when God comes parting the Red Sea. That's when God stops the mouth of the lion. It's when somebody cries out with their heart.
That's right.
But you see, a lot of times when I'm down, that's when I don't feel like praying. When you don't feel like praying the most is when you need to pray. When you don't feel like coming to church the most is when you need to come. It's always amazed me, people get discouraged and they don't want to come to the house of God. The only place or the best place to get help, and they don't want to come. because they're down and they're out. Not realizing all the time that Jesus has done all He can. And He's reaching out as far as He can, but waiting for somebody to make a step. If you'll just make one step, He'll make two. Every time you turn to Him, He's waiting there with His arms wide open. Jesus loves to forgive. He loves to heal. He loves to encourage. But He's waiting for somebody to say, God, I can't take it no more. I'm coming to You. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 says that He is a rewarder of them that casually seek Him. Those that half-heartedly seek Him. Those that every once in a while seek Him. Those that when they're in a good mood seek Him. No, diligently, 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 diligently. You know why we don't see more prayers answered? We're not diligent. We pray fervently for a week and then we quit. We pray desperately for a month and then we quit. But it's that diligent heart. That heart that just says, no, God, I'm not going to quit. You're going to hear my voice in the morning. You're going to hear my voice at noontime. You're going to hear my voice in the evening time. God, I put my faith in You. I put my confidence in You. There's no place else I can go. And the Word of God says, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm telling that promise is still good in 1992. If you're facing a problem tonight, if you're down and out tonight, if you need a healing tonight, if you've got a lost loved one tonight, He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He's still God Almighty. He's still El Shaddai. He's still Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisa, Jehovah Tanishki, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Salvation. He is the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. And He wants His people to trust Him. I've heard my grandparents talk about how it was in the 30s. You see, back then they didn't have the money to go to the doctor. They didn't have the banker to loan the money. And when they had a need, they only had one place to go, was to God. And they saw great and mighty things because they put their faith in Him. And in 1992, have we got so dependent upon our abilities or our bank account or our doctors, and I'm not against any of that, please understand what I'm saying. But I'm saying, have we got so dependent on that we forget all the time that Jesus is saying, I'm here. I'm here right now. I'm not hard to touch. I want to. I'm looking down. I want to bless my people. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. You know the only way we're perfect is through the blood. That's the only way I'm perfect. But the Bible says He's looking for somebody that's perfect. That's why I try to repent every day. I want to make sure everything's under the blood. So when I have a problem and I have a need, that I can boldly come before Him. Not in what I am, but what has happened in my life. That I've taken on His name. And that His blood has washed me clean. And He cares about me. For Jesus is here. Only believe. Could we stand right now? Let's sing this little chorus. Jesus is here. Have you got a need tonight? I wished I could do it for you. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. But the bottom line is, you've got to have a desire in your heart. You've got to be hungry and thirsty. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know this song? Let's raise our hands and sing it. Oh, Jesus is here. Right now. Oh, help your esteem. Oh, anybody want to come and be prayed for? Anybody want to come and be prayed with? Oh, I want to. Do you feel like you can't go any further? Do you feel like you need an answer from God? Jesus is here. Jesus is here.